Hey guys, welcome to the Backstage with Millionaires podcast. I'm Caleb, and today I'm joined by Arvind and Samhita. They're the founders of GoGuppy, which is India's first ONDC buyer app exclusively focusing on food, which I think might be surprising to some people because I would, a lot of people are thinking ONDC, like everybody's going to be jumping on this opportunity. There's going to be tons of food apps, but you're actually the first ones. So it's great to have you here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
So why is it that more people aren't getting into the food side of ONDC right now? Is there a specific reason for that?
No. See, there are companies coming in who are focusing on the entire spectrum of buyers. So it's not just food. So there are companies like Paytm and IDFC Bank. They're coming in and they have grocery delivery. They have, food delivery as well. And we do have other players who might enter this space. We are not claiming to be the only ones, but it's still really early days, right, on ONDC. So they're all either in beta or we're all still testing. And, even we are in late stages of pre-production. We anticipate going to prod and live in the next 1 or 2 weeks. So there are other players, but as of now, the players who are live are focusing solely, they're not focusing solely on food delivery. They're doing the whole spectrum. And in the future, there might be other players, but as of now, we are one of the earliest players in this market.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of the big players are already sort of, they're big companies that are well established and they're just adding ONDC to their list of offerings, right? Whereas you guys are sort of a smaller player. Mm-hmm. And I guess, is the focus now exclusively on ONDC or do you also have one? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I'd like to just tell you guys about how we started off as a company.
It was some time ago, right? Like I think I saw on LinkedIn, you guys like sort of started back in 2019.
Right? Yeah. So we started right out of college, actually. I was in the final year of college and one day we were eating masala puri at our favorite street food stall. And that's when we realized that there's no way we can get this delivered home. And we saw a huge opportunity. It was not just this one masala puri vendor, but the norm is that street food vendors are not digitized, and it's not just street food vendors. There are so many smaller food eateries with just shop fronts. They're not on such platforms like Swiggy's and Zomato's.
And yet I feel like the local people in those areas, they typically know like which street food is the best, right? Like I go to this shop. Oh yeah, I've seen that one. It's the blue one, right?
Yeah.
Or it's like, the guy with the mustache, like it's all this like sort of word of mouth stuff.
Yeah. And we saw a huge potential there. We knew it because we were foodies. We loved eating. But if I ever went and told my mom that, that's the best masala puri you get, she wouldn't believe me, because she doesn't know about it. And so we thought there's a really good opportunity there to create a rating review system and to make sure that they're digitally enabled and they start delivering to their customers. That's where we started. And actually, we did do a pilot in Bangalore. So for the last 6 to 8 months, we've been running a pilot in HSR Kormangla and Malleshwaram, where we have about 20 street food vendors on board. And organically, we have got around 6,000 to 7,000 customers and processed over 2,500 orders. And it was quite well received, by both the customers and the vendors. The problem, though, was, for us as a company, we have to think about scale because we're a startup. And when that time did come, when we had to think about how do we scale, is when we came across ONDC. And it seems like a no-brainer for us to scale. So on ONDC, like most of you are aware of, you can either come in as a buyer or a seller. So they have this unbundling, which makes sure that as a company, you just focus on one part, there are other players doing the rest of it. So this
unbundling of the entire...
Exactly.
Because we were talking about this actually... Mm-hmm. on last week's podcast, how with traditional e-commerce, I guess this is what you're saying, right? Everything is bundled because one person is providing everything, right? They're sourcing, they've got the sellers on one side, then they get the product from the seller, then they're sort of like fulfilling that. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're storing that in their warehouse, and then they're also doing like the logistics, like sending it to the customer. And if there's any issues along the way, they also take care of it. Whereas ONDC, it's like everything is sort of compartmentalized and like each stage of the process is handled by a different party entities. And ONDC themselves are not a platform, right? They're just a network.
Yes.
And so they're kind of like, they're like an infrastructure provider, but they're not actually, like you can't just call ONDC and say, hey, my order didn't come. Can you fix it?
You can't do that. And in fact, they're not an infrastructure provider.
Oh.
So what ONDC does is just, they set up a set of protocols and specifications, which tells how an open network like this should be governed. And they just lay the framework for it. And even the specifications are developed, built, maintained by the network participants. So we as a company, so for instance, there's a situation where right now, because we're focusing only on the food delivery space, we need to make sure that anything that's coming on the ONDC search response, we need to know the category of that, know that it's a F&B player. So that's something that's still not, it's a part of the protocol, but people have not yet implemented it. But as a network participant, I can go and request ONDC that this is something that you guys need to enable and make sure that the other players start sending that response. You know, so this is how ONDC is evolving. It's not that it's a company or it's an entity which is providing the platform or they're managing the network. They're not doing any of those things. They're just laying the foundation. On top of that, companies are built which handle different things. So for instance, just like how we have buyers and sellers, you also have gateways and they provide the infrastructure. So infrastructure is not provided by ONDC. It's more of a specification that they have defined.
You said that they're sort of laying the foundation. I think defining what is that foundation, I think that's the thing that a lot of people are trying to wrap their, like myself included, are trying to wrap our heads around. And like, it's so new, right? And I'm sure even you guys, because you did pivot, right? Mm-hmm. Initially, you were a traditional
marketplace.
Whereas now you're exclusively focusing on ONDC. So you guys would have also had to, like, when you decided to go on ONDC, you would have been like, okay, how do I start, right? But I want to go even before that. Like, at what point, you kind of said that like the problem was scale, right? Could you like maybe elaborate on that? Like, what were the problems that you were facing, which you thought that ONDC could be potentially a solution for?
For sure. So, you know, as a traditional platform marketplace, so what you would have to do is, you will have a huge fleet of people going and onboarding your sellers, right? You'll have a huge operational force and you will also be spending heavily on customer acquisition. And these two are things that for a single company to do requires a lot of money. And to be honest, if we were doing this marketplace for the street food vendors 2 years back, I do feel like we could have pulled it off and raised funds for it. But in this current scenario, it's really tough, you know, right from raising funds to running it sustainably is very tough, you know, because for us, if we have to expand just throughout Bangalore, we need a fleet of almost 100 to 150 people onboarding street food vendors. And then we need to spend millions of dollars in acquiring customers. And in this economy, it's really tough to raise money for both, right? But then with ONDC, what happens is you can focus on one thing and that'll really increase your business efficiencies. I don't need to focus on going and onboarding. So right now we're a buyer, right? So I don't need to focus on onboarding the sellers. So there are players like Pet Pooja. There are players like YouEngage, Growth Falcons, Pepo, Thrive. You know, all these players are bringing onboard restaurants and cloud kitchens onto ONDC. And so just an example, if Pet Pooja comes on ONDC, that's unlocking 40,000 restaurants without us doing anything, right? And those are the efficiencies that we saw will help us scale as a business, right? And we could have gone the other way of going and onboarding the street food vendors while that's where we started. Right now, we see there's a lot of challenges in digitizing street food vendors. In fact, this is something that you noticed even with Dukan. Dukan was a startup that came trying to digitize Kirana stores, right? So the problem that you face with these vendors, it's a single street food vendor who handles orders at the stall. He prepares the dishes. He handles customer, collects payments. And then if you ask him to accept orders on a platform and also fulfill it and make sure that, you know, he does inventory management. And if a delivery guy comes to ask him to hand over the food to the delivery guy, it's really tough. And if we were to do this throughout India, we need at least 1,000 people just to manage the vendors in 8 cities. And that's not a scalable business, right? And as much as we'd love to do it, in fact, we had a lot of ideas where we thought we'd digitize these processes, we'd create, just like how Paytm had a soundbox. So we were exploring different opportunities. But again, like, you know, it's a really uphill battle. Not saying that we can't do it, but we can't do it at this point of time. And it's not going to be feasible for a company to do that as well as acquire customers.
Sure.
So through ONDC, what's going to happen is maybe a couple of years down the line, when the platform is a little more stable and easier for sellers to come on board and they're getting a lot of orders, I'm sure there'll be some company which comes on board and just onboards street food vendors, right? And they would benefit from a player like us who gets the customers. So that way, we still stick to our dream of digitizing the entire food ecosystem in the country. But I think ONDC enables this responsibility to fall down to multiple players. So sure. it's not on a single player anymore.
Yeah, you don't have to do everything.
Yeah, we don't have to do everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of it. See, India is a huge economy. And the street food, the unorganized food sector is valued at over $40 billion. The organized is just around $20 billion. You know, it's such a huge industry. And you don't need a single player to go and capture it. And that's what ONDC is trying to do. Earlier, what the game was is that for an Amazon or a Swiggy or any of these larger players, like monopolize, capture the whole market and then make money. Here, it's slightly different. Like run a sustainable business, do what you're good at, partner with others who are doing what they're good at, and eventually capture the whole market. You know, that's what ONDC is bringing about. And that's why we feel like it's easy to scale. You know, as a new startup.
The thing is that the market can expand much beyond what the scope is right now because of the way it's modeled.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. But okay, so you sort of identified that maybe ONDC would be a good opportunity for you guys. What was the process like actually pulling the trigger on that? Because that's hard, right? From 2019 all the way until basically early 2022, you guys were focusing on this one problem.
Yeah.
And now you're like, okay, we're going to change gears.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, were you convinced from day one that ONDC was the right option for you guys? Or like, when did you even hear about ONDC? Because it's a very new thing, right?
It's interesting that you ask this. So it was in August when we started reading about ONDC. In fact, it was one of your videos which we first saw where you explain ONDC and, you know, what it is. And it was really, you know, it was mind-boggling to us. When we first saw it, it was like, just like dollar signs and like, you know, like, oh my God, what is this? Could this be something, you know? And the reason this pivot was so easy for us is ONDC's mission statement is to democratize e-commerce in the country. And what we were trying to do is again, democratize food delivery in a certain way, right? We were trying to make sure that food delivery is not just accessible to the rich, not just accessible to restaurants and cloud kitchens, but we wanted to make sure that even the smallest vendor came on board. You know, so for us, we see this as the best way for us to achieve our vision, to democratize food delivery. And although we may not achieve it with street food vendors to begin with, we do believe that this is the only way that there is a future where street food vendors can start selling.
Right? Sure.
So it aligned with what we wanted to do. And there's a lot of market forces that's backing this initiative. And I think that's really important. So for a startup, one is to have a good idea, one is to have conviction, but then the other is to have market forces which are aligned with your vision. And when we saw all of these come together, it was a no-brainer for us.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
ONDC, I would imagine, okay, maybe you watched our video, which is really cool, by the way. I'm so glad that, I mean, I have to thank the viewers as well, because we wouldn't have heard about it unless the viewers had been like, hey, make a video about ONDC. And I'm like, what is ONDC? Like, let's check it out. So definitely big thanks to the viewers. But then, you know, like, you know, it's so early. Like, even now, the only city that's even in beta is Bengaluru, right? And then there's a couple of other, there's a bunch of other cities in alpha. But I think even at that time, like I'm not sure what stage things were at, if anything was in alpha at that point, or if that's a recent development. So like, what did you guys do to start researching and understanding, like, how can we actually get on to ONDC?
Yeah, so the first thing we did was go on ONDC's website and they had a strategy paper. So went through it for about half an hour, 45 minutes. We got on a call as a team and you're like, you know, this is a huge opportunity and this, we can do something about this. And then, you know, we can pivot our company and this could actually, you know, lead to something. But I think where it all helped us was we actually partnered with a company called eSamudai. eSamudai is one of the earliest players on ONDC. So we partnered with them and they are helping us in our journey through ONDC. So the thing with this is for a traditional company to come and get onboarded onto ONDC to understand the intricacies of it, to just understand the framework and, you know, go through the technical documentation and just get onto the first call, it would take about 3 months, right? And we built our first MVP in 10 days. Yeah.
With the help of this.
With the help of this person, you know, this team, a wonderful team at eSamudai. So what we
realized, how did they know about it though?
eSamudai has been doing ONDC from the very beginning. They were one of the first players to start doing it. In fact, I don't want to, you know, say anything wrong about what they're trying to do, but from my understanding, eSamudai was trying to do something like ONDC much before ONDC came on board.
They've been believers of open network and decentralized.
Yeah.
Oh, are they affiliated with ONDC in any way, or they're...
No. So they affiliation with ONDC, I would say that it's only the companies which own a share in ONDC, but these are all network participants. So eSamudai is coming in as a seller entity. And what they were trying to do before ONDC was they were creating subnets and district level micro entrepreneurs and trying to digitize tier 2 and tier 3 cities, you know. And so for them to get onto ONDC was a no-brainer again, because that's what even ONDC is trying to do. So they were trying to do something similar to ONDC with blockchain and all of that even before ONDC came about.
Got it.
So when it did come, I think again, like, I don't want this to be like, you know, I don't know enough about eSamudai's business and business model, but this is my understanding of what they were doing. And so they've been associated with ONDC for a very long time. So when we did have to, you know, get on board, we started approaching everyone on ONDC. You know, like, our thing was, we realized that this is so new, and unless you move fast and get this initial traction, it's basically, you know, like, done.
So you guys just started reaching out to the people that you were aware of that were on ONDC?
Yeah, basically that. So we went on ONDC and saw who are the players who are live, started reaching out to people, you know, just started connecting with all the founders on LinkedIn and just saying, you know, even we are entering ONDC. It's just like a confident thing. I'm also on ONDC. Let's talk and let's see what we can do together. You know?
That's so cool.
Yeah.
It's like a very, not exclusive, like anyone can join, but it is a small club, right?
It's a small club. So...
Or at least it was at that time.
It was. And it still is, but it's growing really fast. I must say it's growing extremely fast. You know, so at that point of time, we just reached out to them and they helped us out. So like I was saying, the way we made sure that we developed our first MVP in less than 10 days is, see, as a company, we are focused on building good experiences for our customers. You know, and from our pilots that we ran for street food, the marketplace, that's what we realized we're good at. We're good at making sure that the customer experience is good. We made sure that customers kept coming back to us, you know?
I just want to add here that, like we said, we watched your video before we started planning this MVP. And at that point, like, I don't have a tech background, so understanding all of these technical documents and the lingo floating around about ONDC was kind of beyond me. So your video actually helped me understand, like, what the concerns would be for the customer. Mm-hmm. And so that helped us a lot, actually, when we were charting out the product.
But I think at that time, we were very much, even we were very unsure of, like, and we got comments from people too, like, okay, this sounds very theoretical, right? Mm-hmm. Everything you're talking about is sort of like gonna happen in the future, mm-hmm. but what does this actually look like on the ground as a customer or as a buyer app or as a seller app? Like, what is it actually, like how do we interact, how do we interface with this network in a meaningful way? Mm-hmm. And so it's helpful for me to hear, like, you went on ONDC's website, mm-hmm. but then really the steps that you had to take were, one, sort of working with or partnering with or potentially being a client of another company that was helping people like yourselves to join ONDC.
We could have done it on our own, but that would have taken us 6 to 9 months.
Exactly.
And
it was necessary for you
exactly.
to...
Exactly. And in fact, even companies that are already there, again, I don't want to be, like, you know, quoted if I'm wrong, but then I think the IDFC banks and Spice Money and all these players, if you see, they all have a very similar interface. That's because all of them have been developed by this company called Plotch, right? And so on ONDC, again, like there are lots of ways in which a company can enter. The obvious ways are the buyer and the seller. But then there are other ways like technology enablers, right? And that's where these companies like Plotch and eSamudai come in. So it's as simple as this. Today, if I'm building an app, I don't really bother about integrating with every single bank, every single UPI provider for collecting payment from my customer. What do? I integrate with the Razorpay or some other company like that. They've already set up those SDKs, right? So we felt like at least initial days, it makes a lot of sense for us. These players have been there on ONDC for a very long time. They understand the technicalities there. So we don't need to spend 6 months trying to figure out what ONDC means. And since we're a small company, we can afford to, you know, partner with others and make sure we just build the layers on top of that, you know, the customer experience layers. And that's what we've been doing. And that really helped us, you know, move along really fast. In fact, yeah, 10 days to have an MVP is, it's quite tough on ONDC, you know, let alone like doing it on a platform of your own. But on ONDC, it's really tough. And I think that really helped us. These partnerships that you form, it really helps.
But why did you guys decide to build in 10 days for ONDC, which at that point, I don't think was even in alpha stage? Like there weren't customers ordering from ONDC at that time, were there? Like what was the rush?
The rush was to be a part of the public launch in Bangalore.
Okay. So, and that was 10 days away from when you decided
that to. Was 20 days away, 25 days away. Initial launch was end of August, I think, for Ganesh Chaturthi or something like that. And we wanted to capitalize on that. We wanted to be the first players to launch alongside Paytm, because at that point of time, Paytm was the only buyer app. And so we saw a huge potential in being the only other buyer app other than Paytm to launch. So we were like, just have to get this done. It's a go time, you know. And back then we had figured out the entire tech stack and things were streamlined to an extent. So we were able to build that fast. And eSamudai coming in, even for them, you know, it meant a lot that we launch fast, because if we launch, it's like they're launching as well, right?
Yeah.
So
that's the next question I wanted to ask you is, with ONDC, I feel like the more companies and the more consumers adopt, and more, you know, sellers as well, the more players in this ecosystem, the better, right? The rising tide lifts all the boats. And so I hope that you don't interpret this question as me asking you to invite competitors, but what advice would you give to entrepreneurs that want to get on ONDC, but they're just not sure how to take those first steps? You've been through it, right?
Yeah, I'd gladly invite anyone to join ONDC. In fact, you know, this huge scope here. This, I would say, you know, like initial days, we are companies which are doing the most, you know, the lowest hanging fruits, like, oh, food delivery, come on, let's do it, you know. But there are so many more intricacies in this. I think for anyone who wants to start this, should just start attending ONDC meetups, should just start talking to people who are doing this, just reach out to the community. People are really helpful. And just start following ONDC on LinkedIn or, you know, on any platform possible.
It's one of those rare opportunities because it's so new. Nothing's been done in it. So, like, because you can be in the beginning and absorb as much as you can. You can get creative and provide things that you're seeing gaps for.
Yeah, it sounds like a little bit of FOMO here too, though, right?
And no, see, FOMO is there, but some people might see it as FOMO. I feel like the big companies see it as a FOMO, or like that person entered, so then I have to enter. But there are actual problems that need to be solved here, like she said, right? Like gaps in the market. If you're able to identify gaps in this ONDC's infrastructure, you can build on top of that. So for instance, a gap that I see that everyone asks is, what happens when something goes wrong with your order?
Everybody, this is what happened to us.
That's what happened to you, right?
It took so many days for us to get our Diet Cokes. Like they did.
Did you get it?
They did. They did come. He wanted to deliver at like 10 p.m. or something. A random. I think it was like on the. I want to say, I don't know. It was one weekday. We weren't in the office, right? So we're like, probably come back like during office hours, and we'll take the Cokes. But yeah, it was not a great experience. So. Yeah.
So that's something that everyone asks. What happens if something goes wrong? Who takes care of it? Is it the buyer? Is it the seller? This is where ONDC is in the process of forming a protocol for issue redressal, right? imagine like a company coming on board which just handles that. Somebody builds on top of that. You know, so this is a huge gap again. This is an obvious gap, but there is this space for somebody to fill that gap. So if anybody is interested in joining ONDC, you just need to dive into it without thinking too much.
You know, with immediately get a phone call from
him. Yeah. You can reach out to us, you can reach out to me, you can reach out to anyone else who's building for it. And people are more than happy to help.
Yeah.
And here it's not like you see yourself as a competitor, you don't work with them. Like I'll give you another example, right? eSamudai and Growth Falcons are two companies which are building seller apps on ONDC. eSamudai is focusing on the tier 2, tier 3 cities, and Growth Falcons is focused on getting on board restaurants and cloud kitchens in tier 1 cities as of now. These two players in a regular ecosystem would be competitors, right? They're both seller onboarders on ONDC. But the engineering team almost works together always, right? Everyone's working with everyone. If this person has a problem, they give a call to Growth Falcons and they just help them out because they're all building for it. And here, if every single person here succeeds, the network succeeds.
Is that a byproduct of the fact that it is this open network?
It is.
Like a more sort of dog-eat-dog capitalist sort of system?
Absolutely. It's completely open. It's free for all.
Becomes much more collaborative.
Exactly. And a company like us, we are a small startup. And if we can enter and build on top of this and people are so receptive to us, I'm sure anyone can enter.
But is that because it's early days or do you think it's going to continue to be like this into the future?
It's going to continue to be like this.
Yeah.
It is.
You don't seem as convinced.
I'm just thinking about that question. I haven't thought about it yet. I'm interested to see where it goes.
The thing that I've been trying to figure out is how does competition on ONDC work? Like how do you, I don't know why we're using this as the unit of measurement, but it seems to be Diet Cokes. Like, let's say there's like 10 companies selling Diet Cokes as sellers, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you differentiate one from the other? Like, how do you decide who makes money? Is it just location-based? Like the customer just chooses the thing that's closest to them. And so it's kind of like positioning your, it's about like geo-positioning, or is that the main source of competitiveness? Or are there other elements that maybe I'm not considering?
So I would say that because there's possibility for so many players to enter the network and start selling, it becomes a game of experience. And, you know, I don't have a like an education in user experience in terms of like tech and like apps, but I do have experience with experience design. So and it's basically that. The definition of an experience is something that changes your behavior. And so you want to change customers' behavior to prefer you because there's no other way to beat out competition, I'd say.
You're basically talking about fostering loyalty.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of definitely feels like a crucial component right now where we had a, you know, we talked about this publicly. So it was my store, right? We ordered from my store and the experience wasn't great from a logistics standpoint, right? From a UX standpoint, like pre-purchase, everything was great in terms of like the checkout process or like even looking through the products, the website, you know, it's a website. It's, you know, it's 2022, like websites are all pretty much great, right? But then as soon as we ordered it, the money was gone. Now the user experience starts to suffer. And so now my loyalty towards that brand, which could have been there, is not there, right? So I'm searching for another sort of buyer app to be loyal to. Yeah. And I think a lot of people are going to be in that position where they try one buyer app, they have a negative experience, they try another one. Maybe it's a, you know, okay experience. And so they start like preferring that one. So how are you guys going to differentiate yourselves? I guess you have experience already, right? Building an app pre-ONDC.
I think she mentioned that the user experience is important. And it's as simple as this. The person who cracks the user experience is the one who'll get the customers, the one who'll run away with it. Yeah. So as a company, as a buyer app, our focus is always going to be on ensuring that the user experience is top notch. If not, what's the incentive for a person to switch away from an existing platform? There's no incentive. I mean, of course, on ONDC, the costs are going to be lesser. But on other platforms, the experience is better. So a person would always choose that, right?
So yeah, coupled with that price advantage, you do need to at least match the food experience people are used to today or improve it. So, and then like keep identifying pain points and keep improving.
Yeah.
That's the way you stay.
So here for a buyer app to succeed, right? It's all about building layers on top of ONDC and processes on top of that to ensure that the customer gets what they've ordered for on time. If not, there needs to be transparency with the customer. I don't think you had a way to track where you ordered.
We had literally no information.
Did you have a way to contact a customer support agent and then did they get back to you?
I wish Pankaj was here because he would give you an accurate answer to that. I would imagine the answer is no. And we were probably just waiting for someone to reach out to us.
Okay.
But I could be wrong about that. So
I don't know. But that's right there. You know, when we ran our marketplace, when an order went wrong, we didn't wait for a customer to send us a ticket. We were proactive. We have systems in place that are triggered as soon as something gets delayed. And it automates that process of following up with the vendor, following up with the customer. See, as a customer, if it's getting late, you're okay with it as long as I tell you it's going to get late, right? And that proactiveness is what we built in our previous experiences. That's one of the learnings we had from there, which we will bring on board here as well. So for a customer app to add on to what she's saying, user experience is the key for a buyer. And companies need to crack that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think another, you guys had kind of said that there's this pricing advantage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, I want to push back a little bit on that because I think that a lot of the heavily funded players in the food e-commerce space right now, you know, they're offering these massive discounts still to this day, right? I think they're moving towards that sort of profitability, especially I'm scared to say the name. Zomato.
Yeah.
Zomato.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it properly.
Yeah, it's fine.
But basically, you know, they're funded to the point where they're able to discount things, right? Whereas on ONDC, mm-hmm. you're paying the full price, right? Mm-hmm. You're paying the full price of the logistics. You're paying the full price of the mm-hmm. food and mm-hmm. nobody's discounting it, or at least mm-hmm. I would imagine that they're not. I don't know. Maybe they are.
See, the food is already discounted. You know, so
is it?
Yeah. So on other platforms, if your commissions are around 20-30%, on ONDC, the commission structure is much lesser. It's around 10-15%, right? So just by doing this for the customer, the food is much cheaper, right? And if you have a look at this, you know, other platforms are well funded and all of that. But throughout the world, if you see, there's only, from my limited research that I've done, there's only one company in China who's profitable in food delivery. No other food delivery company is profitable today in the way they're running. And so if these existing players continue to give deep discounts and burn money, power to them. But it's not sustainable. It's not going to you know, stay like that forever. And we're seeing money running out, right? And so what we are seeing ONDC as a sustainable way for the economy to get digitized. So it's not about, okay, I raised $1 billion, so I'm going to burn $1 billion. And for the next 3 years, I'll have market share. What after that? Right? And customers, Indian customers, again, like, this is a pain point of all founders. Indian customers expect too much for too little. But that's something that will change over time, right? Customers will start paying for the services that they get, right? And that's the only sustainable way for a company or for an economy to grow. And so talking about that sustainable change, I think this is the best way to go ahead.
I'd also push back to your pushback. So you say that like these big companies are heavily discounting foods, and that might be the case to acquire customers at first. But as soon as like it becomes a behavior that is, you know, consistent with that customer, those discounts start to drop off. And I've heard from multiple people that getting food delivered to your house is getting more and more expensive. It is a complaint that I have heard often.
Sure. Yeah. Which is actually more of like, it's moving closer and closer to the real cost of what that is, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely it's once you had, I think one of you guys had said like, where does it go after that, right? After the discounting. I guess the answer would be, or that these companies would give, is that we're burning through all this money so that eventually we can habituate people and build that loyalty so that they keep coming back even as we raise the price. But then of course the Indian market is very, very price sensitive, right? And so sometimes you start to raise the price and you start losing people because, you know, other companies are offering deeper discounts.
Yeah.
But then eventually once the entire market stops with that unsustainable high burn behavior, then maybe it makes sense.
We believe that ONDC is the only way for food delivery to become profitable for companies, you know? And that's a big statement, but we genuinely believe that. We have seen traditional platforms, like I said, all over the world failing. And this heavily reduces the cost overheads for a company. And even though the margins are much lesser for each of the players in it, because the overheads are that low, it is going to become profitable. And we genuinely believe that.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm reading through some of the comments on our recent BWM podcast that we made. One person is giving a really interesting thought here. I'm a product designer, and I will tell you potential reasons for why ONDC will not work while UPI does work.
Mm-hmm.
So they say that UPI is primarily a process, and any front-end user-facing experience it supports is designed and built by other companies like PhonePe and Google Pay. On the other hand, ONDC is the entire package. User actions, front stage actions, backstage actions, support processes. To be good at all these things to the level where ONDC beats Amazon, Flipkart, or others is 200 times tougher than ISRO's Mars mission. And I don't believe the government or any companies currently possessing such competence or talent pool. What do you guys think of that?
Challenge accepted. We'll do it.
The Mars mission.
Yeah, no, it's I agree. You know, it's tough. It's not an easy feat. But to a large extent, it's not that different from running a marketplace on your own. Just to give you an example, when we ran the street food marketplace before this, we did outsource deliveries. We didn't do any in-house deliveries. Okay. And here deliveries are outsourced on the network. We had issues where a delivery partner wasn't assigned on time. We had issues where they'd be late or they had a puncture. But we were able to reassign a delivery partner and do all of those with a simple chat interface that we had with our delivery service provider. And the customers still got their order delivered. We had a very high success rate for orders. So it's not that different. Even existing companies, they don't do everything end to end. So I'm sure even an Amazon has a different company who's taking care of warehousing, a different company who's doing logistics. It's not that one company is running the whole thing. It's just that on ONDC, you have all these different companies and it's not locked to one service provider. So an Amazon's warehouse provider, imagine a future where it can be accessed by Flipkart. You know, it's like if Amazon could build it with some other company, why can't they just open it up so everybody can use that? It's not much different from how things are working today.
Hmm.
You know? So I would say it's a matter of, you know, these are the engineering challenges that we need to solve. But India is a country of bright entrepreneurs and, you know, a lot of companies. And people are solving these problems. So I don't think it's a matter of, oh, it's that much tougher. It's not going to be done. It's not going to be successful. It's a matter of time. I'd say give it enough time. It's going to happen. And I'm sure it will. And again, I want to say it's not too different from how things were happening before. It's still the same, but instead of you having, you know, individual tie-ups with companies, you go and join the network, and the network has defined these protocols to make sure it's interoperable. So you don't have to spend as much time in communicating that. And as a company, like that warehouse provider, they don't have to build for one single company. They're not tied down to an Amazon. They, by just integrating themselves onto ONDC, even if one company fails, they have so many other companies they can provide to.
Right.
So I don't see it as a big problem. I just see it as something that needs to be solved, that will be solved.
That's the network effect, right?
That's the network.
That brings me to something that, you know, I think Pankaj and I had talked about ONDC, and I tried my best to explain it in the way that I understood it. But I think you guys have a much deeper understanding now that you're actually building for ONDC and you're working with the network. Do you mind explaining it to me from the perspective of someone who's actually a part of the network? My understanding is that you have, it starts with a seller who wants to sell something. They find a seller app I don't know if they can go to multiple seller apps or if it even makes sense to, or if it just makes sense to go on one seller app only, because anyways, you access the entire network through a single, you know, point. And then there's gateways involved, right, which connect the seller apps with the buyer apps. Mm-hmm. And then the buyer apps are the customer facing apps that you would use to actually order something. And then I guess the buyer app could either fulfill that order themselves with their own fleet, or they could outsource that to a logistics provider that's on the network as well.
Yeah.
So that's the limit of my understanding. Mm. So tell me.
It's more or less there. So there are a couple of nitty-gritties. So to start off with, yeah, you have sellers, you have buyers. So they're your customers and your shops. Okay? And both of them need a front to start interacting on the network. That's where these apps come in, the seller apps and the buyer apps. You could also have a situation where the seller is big enough that they build their own app and they directly join the network. That's also a possibility. So let's say, for example, a HUL. You know, HUL is such a big company and they probably have stores all around. They don't need to tie up with somebody else. They can just have their own app for all the HUL stores and they can just come on board. You know? So you have these seller apps to onboard sellers. On the buyer side, you have buyer apps, which act as a front for the customers. And on the buyer app, you see a catalog of everything that sellers around you or sellers who want to deliver to you sell, right? And as a customer and as a seller, the experience for you is not very different from what's happening already. So you're on a platform and you place orders, you search, and you accept orders and then you dispatch them.
Yeah.
It's the same
thing. We picked up on that. We kept making that comparison. Like, oh, this is just like Amazon or this is just like Flipkart. The thing that I'm trying to figure out though is like for a seller or for a buyer, what is your incentive for using any one platform over another?
This is
what I can't understand because you have access to the exact same network of products, right?
So
for a buyer, I think we've like established already that the user experience is going to be what makes you decide on which app to use.
Yeah.
Is there also a pricing side of it or is that not
pricing.
Really?
Pricing is also there, but...
That's taken care of by the seller side, no? Or does the buyer side also...
What was your question? Your question is, why would a buyer or a seller switch over from existing apps to ONDC? Is that your question?
No. Sorry. Basically, if I'm looking at maybe say three buyer apps on the network... Mm-hmm. Why would I choose one over another?
That's the experience, like she said.
Yeah, that's how you as a buyer app are competitive.
Yes.
But that feels like a very small difference, right? I mean, how are you going to build an experience that is so competitive and just like blows people's minds that you become the market leader? Like to me, I don't know. Like
there is an aspect of like being early to the game.
Okay.
That gives us a bit of an advantage.
Is it also like marketing spend? You have to like, spend a lot of money on marketing?
We will have to market.
Yeah.
So it all depends on where you're coming in. In fact, the other day we were talking to MyGate and the CEO of MyGate, you know, they were talking about a situation where they are trying to see how they work with ONDC to make experience for their customers good. So they have a network of residents in their neighborhoods, right? In their apartment complexes. So they want to come in as a buyer app, but they're thinking about user experiences slightly differently. So they're like, okay, if I place an order through the MyGate app, MyGate already knows that they are going to receive a package that day. So maybe they give access to that delivery partner even without disturbing these people, right? So they're trying to build experiences on top of that. So there will be companies which are building experiences or integrating it within their existing services. But for companies like us, in the future, if we have to expand and compete with the giants, there will be a marketing aspect. Like that's there with any app, right? Once you have to scale beyond a certain point of time, you have to acquire customers, you have to reach the masses. But beyond that, as long as your experience is good, right? for a customer, prices are always going to be competitive with us. As long as the experience is good, people are going to come. And it's as simple as that. It may seem like a very simple thing that we're emphasizing on, the user experience, but that is all that matters. So you yourself, you ordered something. Would you go back and order again? You wouldn't, because your experience was bad.
But that, I mean, that also felt like a logistics problem, right? So I think that's not so much about...
Yeah. See, here, logistics problem in India, in at least in the cities, right? Logistics are figured out. So if you're a company like Dunzo and you are providing logistics on the network, you can definitely guarantee a 20-minute delivery. You know, that's not a problem at all. The problem is communication between the parties.
Right.
Yeah. So that is all it is. And as long as you fix that communication, your logistics is going to be the way you're used to. It's not going to be any different. And this communication, this interaction, this interoperability is what is being built right now, right? And as a user experience layer, it's not about just building beautiful UIs. It's about how do we make sure that these communication happen time and time again without failing, right?
And I was just thinking about like why you arrived at the conclusion that if user experience is the only differentiator, isn't that kind of a small differentiator? And to that, I would say that, you know, so far we've seen companies do one thing and do it really well. And to get to the point where everybody knows that you are a person who does this XYZ really well, it's a huge journey. But now that it's a smaller journey for newer players, I feel like we might see more creative things in terms of experience. So it won't just be that, you know, it may not just be that, like, you get something from A to Z and it gets done in the best way possible. It might be that we are, like, looking at the way a customer lives and adjusting the offering for them. Or it might be something more nuanced than what we've seen so far. But this is just me spitballing.
No, yeah, this is what I wanted to ask about this too, is ONDC is obviously changing the game, right? And it allows companies like yourself to focus on something like sort of solving a bit of a smaller problem, but as you're saying, solving it really well. Yes. To an extent that maybe a company that was juggling a bunch of stuff in the past wouldn't have been able to, because, you know, they just have too much on their plate. So what does that evolution look like now that you have more time, or you have more energy and you can just focus on one thing? It's like, where do we go from there, right? What does the market look like post wide adoption of ONDC? How do things, and maybe we can't, like, it's all speculation at this point, right? But I think the same question could have been asked before UPI was launched, right? Where, like, where do we go from there? Yeah. What does the market look like post mass adoption of UPI? Now we have arrived at that point, right? And we've seen the differences in how people, you know, live their lives when they don't have to worry about cash, and how companies are able to leverage that. What do you guys, I mean, you've given one great idea. You guys have any ideas on where? Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting that you mentioned UPI. When UPI started, people were like, can you really pay with your phone at a tea shop? I mean, is that really possible? Like, how would that even happen? You know, there was a lot of skepticism. And what it did right now is that there's widespread adoption of digital payments in the country. In fact, the most in any country in the world, right? And that is what we see ONDC's mission as. You know, just like how there was widespread adoption of digital payments, there is going to be widespread adoption of e-commerce. Right now in India, the share of e-commerce accounts for less than 4% of all commerce that happens in the country. Whereas in countries like China and UK, it's closer to around 20-25%. India has a long way to go there. E-commerce is still restricted only to the top 1% of people, maybe the top 10% at most. That's really, you know, a lot. But I don't think it's 10%. It's a lot lesser than that. What ONDC is trying to do and what it will do is digitize the next $500 million. It's going to ensure that, you know, like how we were trying to digitize street food vendors, this is finally going to make that possible, because it's no longer going to be a cash drain on all ends for a company to do it. There will be players who specialize on that. Or let's have an example where, say, in a remote village in Kashmir, there's somebody who's an artisan who likes who sells something. Today, what they do is they tie up with some player who puts them on Amazon. There's a middleman who takes a huge cut of the profit. And then they sell to very few people. And they get a really small chunk of that. But a person like that can start selling throughout the country, right? And it's all about, you know, they can sell direct to customers. Imagine a village having a D2C brand to a customer in a city. And that was not possible earlier. And that's what ONDC is going to do. It's all about widespread adoption of e-commerce in the country. And that's where it's headed towards.
What you're sharing with me is very much the vision. Mm-hmm. But use that example, like say there's a person in Kashmir who's making some painting, right? Mm-hmm. So what actually happens? Like, what is
the way they
more than that, like, you're basically saying it opens up opportunities for tier two, tier three, and beyond. Yeah. How?
I'll give you a simple
On a like a real like world example. Like,
great. So this company called eSamudai. Imagine they go out there and onboard some sellers in a tier two or tier three city. So that's what they're doing, seller onboarding there. So they identify these craftsmen, these artisans, and they onboard them. And
which bigger e-commerce players wouldn't have had an incentive to do.
Exactly, because they are focused on what they already have, which is the cities. And they're focused on controlling the inventory and making sure that they get maximum profits out of all of these things. They don't have an incentive to go to the remote villages or the tier two and tier three cities and do this. So
onboarding sellers isn't the only thing that they do.
Exactly. So imagine a company like eSamudai goes and onboards such sellers. After that, let's say ShipRocket's on ONDC right now. So they can just avail logistics across the country now, because ShipRocket aggregates logistics partners like, you know, your couriers, your parcel companies, your posts. It aggregates all of these things. So now all of a sudden, just because these sellers are on ONDC, they are accessible to all buyers in the country. So a person sitting in Bangalore who opens an ONDC buyer app, they see this seller from Jammu and Kashmir. And because they're on the network, there's logistics integrated into the network, so they can sell directly to the customers. And the only people in between these are the people who are enabling these seller apps and the seller apps and the buyer apps, right? So as long as you pay for the delivery, you can purchase from anywhere in any corner of the country.
Now, how does that painter, mm-hmm. how does he get visibility on ONDC?
He gets visibility as on the buyer app. So,
but how does he ensure that his painting gets mm-hmm. in front of the eyeballs of as many people as possible?
This is where specialized experiences come in, right? So as a buyer app, you could either just be like on Amazon, for instance. The minute you open Amazon, even today, if that painter is already selling on Amazon, unless you search for it, you're not going to see it. The first thing you see on Amazon is shop for mobiles, shop for laptops, and, you know, shop for clothes and things like that. Nobody says shop for artisanal products from Kashmir on Amazon. You still have to search for that, right? So that could be one case, but imagine a buyer app which curates such artisanal products throughout the country. Right.
So they've sort of carved out that niche for themselves.
Exactly. So what we believe is, from the buyer side, it's all about specializing in verticals. And this is what we mean by creating good buyer experiences. So if you're an art collector, you wouldn't want to go and shop for art on Paytm or an Amazon. You would want to go to a site which curates these art products for you. Right. And this is where the buyer apps work with the seller apps. So for instance, we as food delivery, food buyer app, we are working with every single food seller app. So we go and tell them, hey, listen, I have a buyer app. I'm going to give you a good experience. I'll make sure that you get repeat orders. I'll make sure that the customer who comes doesn't leave, you know, without a satisfying experience. They're happy to work with us, you know, and the same way you will have a buyer app in this section, in the art section, who ties up with sellers app there and says, you know what, go and onboard more sellers. We will feature you. We will take care of the customer acquisition and the user experiences. And you go and acquire your sellers. So each one is doing what they're good at, carving out their own niche, and the efficiencies of the businesses increase. And this is how we see the network going.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So it's a totally different, when Pankaj and I were talking about it, like we had to like, we're stretching our brains just to like understand how it all fits together. But I'm really excited to see where it goes. Like, again, even Bengaluru is still in beta.
It is.
But once it's like fully launched and fully featured, and I guess even you guys, right, are sort of, is there a dialogue happening between people who are building for ONDC and ONDC itself, the people who are working on ONDC?
Absolutely. So the team at ONDC gives me a call almost every day. So they're literally a phone call away. Like,
wow.
And that's how it is. Like, it's a very close group. And for ONDC to succeed, they need us to succeed. And for the sellers to succeed, they need us to succeed. For us to succeed, we need the sellers to succeed. So it's a very close community. In essence, you can think of it this way. Earlier, one company would have been doing all of this. Right now, everyone's stepping up and doing their part and holding up to that. You know, they're actually doing a good job. And they are becoming efficient as businesses. We are becoming efficient as businesses. But that's the only difference.
Sure. Yeah. Wow. Well, it definitely, like, if I'm watching this and I'm a startup founder, mm-hmm. I'm an entrepreneur, or like a would-be, right? Like, I'm thinking about it. Like, what can I do? Like, what space can I jump into? It seems like building for ONDC right now is actually like a pretty exciting opportunity.
It is.
And it's like a one-time opportunity. Like, if you don't get in now, it might be too late later on, right?
That's not true. They say that about startups. You're like, oh, the startup bubble's going. What are you doing starting a startup now? You know, you should have entered 4 years back. Or
yeah.
There's always space for new innovation. There's always space for new players to enter.
The thing about you're saying bubbles, though, like, yes, it is kind of a bubble, but it's also like a government-powered network mm-hmm. bubble, right? Which feels like a pretty safe bubble to invest in, right? Like, it's...
It's not government-powered. It's government-backed. It's powered by the network participants.
Right. Sorry.
Yeah. So it's powered by us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I'm stressing on this is there is this notion that's floating around that this is run by the government. You know, it was the initiative of the government to do something like this. It's not run by the government. It's run by the network. It's run by the participants on it. It's governed by the participants. It is all the participants. Government is just backing it and just helping to give it that nudge it requires to reach that stage.
So here's a question that just comes to mind. Is there a switch? Like, if the government wants to turn it off, can they do that? Or is it so independent that it actually, that it's just built on agreements and contracts
They can't turn it off. It's not owned by the government. It's a not-for-profit organization that's owned by private companies like the NSDLs and, you know, the NPCI. And these are the companies that own it. They have shares in it. It's like any other company. And you have stakeholders from so many companies and startups building on it. If there is no switch that anyone can switch off, and it's not like all the participants are just going to let that switch go off. It's a snowball, and the ball started rolling down. So... there's no way you can stop it.
Wow, that was a really nice line to end it on. Yeah. There's no way you can stop it. Yeah. And then the music comes in. Cool. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on and talking about building for ONDC. And GoGuppy. I know we didn't talk too much about
I think GoGuppy is just a cog in this ONDC wheel. ONDC is much bigger than that. And it's our duty as early adopters of ONDC to educate everyone on ONDC and actually talk about it. It's something that's for the greater good of the country. And so it doesn't matter if our name, it's not about, you know, one company. It's about the entire community and what we're trying to build here.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys. Great. Thanks again.
Thanks for having us. And thanks for the initial video that you had that... sparked our interest.
Yeah. I really had no idea what kind of impact that was going to have, but I'm so glad that it had a positive one, and we want to keep doing that, obviously, because I felt like the last episode, just because of the Diet Coke thing, it sort of ended up going in that negative direction. But we really are like excited about ONDC, and we just want to keep seeing like what happens and like tracking this story as it evolves.
Absolutely. It is going to take a little time, not too much time again. I would say in 6 months, the experience is going to be much, 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 much better. It's just a little time, but we need to be patient. It's a big mission, and it's something that's trying to revolutionize e-commerce like it was never before.
Yeah. And of course, it's in beta. So exactly. Like, it's kind of, you have to be forgiving exactly. Sometimes when these, yeah. When these things happen. And
but we're very excited to be young and in this bubble. Like
It's like you guys are right on the cusp of like what's happening. It would, I could imagine like you guys wake up every day. It's like, it's actually exciting to like go to work.
It's actually exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Which it's not something that everybody can say, right? Yeah. So good for you guys.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. All right.